League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rocksure on Off the Ball.
Well, if Daniel Kelly won that header, you clip that and you save that in the Shelbourne folklore.
League of Ireland Late Night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.
Hello. You're very welcome along to another episode of Word on the Street, where every week we take a sporting event, a topic, something that's dominating the headlines, and we take it to the public and we find out what you think. So you're very welcome along. I can't remember what episode we're on, but we are calling this episode 6. Thank you, Brona. We are calling this Paddle Mania. Now, Eve has deserted us for the nice shores of, I think, Barcelona, maybe Monza.
Yeah, she's gone to the F1.
Yeah, rude.
She'll be missed today.
The podcast obviously doesn't mean enough to her. But in her absence, we have a very special guest. Colm, how are you?
Hi, Susanna. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How does it feel being in here outside of breakfast hours?
Disconcerting. Don't know what time of day it is at all.
Is it bright outside?
I don't know, but I'm like, these new graphics are very nice. Like this purple lilac colour, whoever chose that, compliments to them.
I wanted pink. Because I love pink, and everyone keeps saying, you know, stop doing that. You're really fitting into a stereotype there. But sometimes it's okay.
No, I don't think that's true now, because I'm in the market for a pink hoodie.
So
if you have any, you know, if Word on the Street could get a sponsor or something like that of pink hoodies, if anyone wants to donate some hoodies to us, we have
Queen
a rotation.
Bee? Would we love a bit of Queen Bee Word in the Street, Brendan?
Our mutual friend,
Queen Bee.
Yeah, I'll get on to Breed Ryan from Queen Bee Athletics to see if she'll do us a pink hoodie.
I'd love
That'll
that.
Be class.
Yeah.
That'll be unbelievable. But I know, how are you today, Susanna, personally speaking? How are you? Are you
struggling a wee bit? Feeling a bit shaky.
Why is that? Nervous?
Yeah,
nervous
real nervous.
Slash. You shouldn't be.
Few too many vodka soda limes last night. We'll put it that way.
Why? What was the occasion?
You're really digging deep
here. Yeah, what was the occasion? What happened?
We were very honoured to be invited to the Rugby Players Ireland Awards, which is a fantastic event. They do it very well. Yeah. They serve too much free alcohol.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because our producer, Brona, there was also with you.
Yeah, look at her drinking Glucozade.
When I was asking you, how are you today, I looked to my left there and Brona was keeled over. So I thought, oh, she's actually getting sick in the production box. That's how good of a night it was. But no, she's really well. And I saw your rotation camera thing on Instagram as well.
Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it?
That was really good.
Thing
of
my glam.
And I was trying to think, out of people who haven't seen this, if this go on to the Instagram account of Brona, or Susanna, or Kathleen McNamee, you'll see this video. And I was left thinking, I know these three people. I wonder whose idea it was. And I couldn't decide between
guess.
This. I think, right, if you don't mind my guessing, Rachel, I think it was Brona.
She looked like she was enjoying it the most. Kathleen, I'm not sure. I think I would have been in the same position as her. She looked like she was giving it a go for the sake of the others. You know.
Did you see her hair flick, though? It was the most perfectly timed hair flick I've seen in my entire life.
She had been practicing for a week. She was doing rotation things at home. She was getting people run around
there. Was her idea. Run around. So, I actually don't know. I think I was very, very keen. I think Brona was also very keen. Yeah, it was Brona. Okay. Can confirm.
Yeah, you just about hear her. If you really listen carefully, she confirmed that. So it was a good night anyway.
It was a fantastic night.
And it's
night.
A great day today.
But I had to be up at bright and early to be at Bushy Park Paddle Club
not
at
so
half nine this morning.
And bushy-tailed.
I was not so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I made Rachel do all the interviews.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't hack it. But we got some great stuff.
We got some great stuff, yeah. So Eve's deserted me. You're hungover. I've been doing this job for about 4 weeks. So it's been a stressful day, you know?
You know, it's what the pod is all about.
Yeah.
We're learning and we're growing.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity
You're
to
so
learn
welcome.
And grow today. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Okay, let's get into paddle. So Colm, you're a big tennis fan. Do you play much paddle?
I haven't played paddle at all.
Oh.
But I'm actually... in preparation for this slash, right, because I do research for these things, right, I actually rang a friend of the show, former professional tennis player Jenny Claffey.
Oh, big paddle player as well?
Yeah, so Jenny, like an amazing tennis player, was told by her coaches that if it wasn't for her elbow injury, she was potentially top 10 in the world.
Mad.
She beat Ons Jabeur 6-love, 6-love, like this is multiple Grand Slam finalist Ons Jabeur. And so, really knows what she's talking about in this regard. But the transition to paddle, she says, while it's actually quite easy, she said it's really not that similar to tennis at all, which is very interesting, but it's for the benefit of the people who use it. So it looks like a tennis court in a condensed fashion, and it's the same scoring system, but otherwise it's very different. But the barrier to entry is way less in padel than it is for tennis. And the interesting, I guess, question we're going to be talking about is, what does it mean for the future of tennis as well as the future of padel? It should be taken off.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll read here what the definition of padel is, just in case anybody hasn't heard of it. It's a racket sport, which we know, that blends aspects of tennis and squash. So that's kind of interesting, because I was chatting to a guy from Squash Club who said, actually, like what you said, he thinks it's closer to squash than it is to tennis. Mm-hmm. But basically, so it's played on a smaller enclosed court with walls that players can use to bounce the ball off of. It's also most commonly played in doubles using solid stringless rackets. So that's your paddle bat, if anyone's ever seen them. It literally looks like what you used to play on the beach with.
Swing ball.
Yeah, is that what you
did? Did you ever play swing ball?
No.
They kind of look a bit similar to them.
Is that the yoke on a string?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, which you whack.
Yeah,
I did
overtook
that.
The nation as well. Before paddle. Yeah, swing ball walked so paddle could run.
Yeah, I never understood how you won that game. This goes on forever.
It gets to the top or the bottom of the cylinder.
Wraps around. Yeah. I'd say we stick with paddle.
I think so.
Yeah, a lot more fun. But paddle does have the little Wii remote handles. Have you seen them? So you wrap it around your wrist, and it's because if you go too close to the wall, because obviously the ball's bouncing off the wall and you're trying to return it, you might whack against the wall.
Yeah.
So if you do that, you're meant to let go of your racket, but it stays on the string like a Wii remote. Like, you know, when you were doing Wii bowling and you'd let go of your remote. My sister did that once, let go of the remote, didn't have the thing on.
Smashy.
She made me go downstairs and tell my mum as well.
And you've gotten over it though, but it sounds it's really healthy.
Nico,
if
you're listening,
the hangover brings out all the real thoughts, you know. Susanna asked me, do I play? And while I was ringing Jenny for the research, we actually booked a game. So I was like, the first ever game of paddle I'm going to play, and hopefully we'll get that on film.
And you're going to play with Jenny?
Yeah.
Are we invited?
Well, you will be, because as you know, it's a doubles game.
Yeah, did you know that?
You have to have four people, right? No, I knew it well, because I said, Jenny, is there any way you can do this singles? So she said, look, we'll just compromise, right? So for 10 minutes, you just show me how to play, and then we'll play the first game of doubles. The question is, are you going to play, and are you going to play?
I want to play. I'm quite good at paddle.
So you have played?
Yeah.
So tell us, what's the crack with this?
Because you can use the wall. Yeah.
So you can bounce, hit the wall. Yeah. Talk us through a game of paddle.
The rule is grass before glass. So it has to hit the ground before it hits the glass.
What's the surface? Is it a hard court?
No, it's like artificial grass.
Okay, right.
Kind of surface.
Astral, yeah.
So it's the same as tennis. You serve underarm, not overarm. Yeah. Cross court, and it has to bounce on the other side. Like in the box, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then they return it, and then it's like tennis. But the key thing is once it hits the grass, it can bounce off that back wall.
Yeah.
And you can return it by either turning around and smashing it as hard as you can against the glass again.
Yeah.
So that you can imagine it bounces and goes all the way back over the court. Or you can be really agile on your feet and do a quick ninja move, turn around, and you tap it over the net after it's bounced. So that was the hardest thing for me. Like, I've played tennis for a long time. So just hitting the ball across is fine. Kind of anybody can do that.
Yeah.
But once it hits the glass, it gets really tricky. And it can bounce off. You can imagine there's a corner like this. It can bounce off both corners before you can hit it.
Yeah.
So the ball's going at all angles.
If you'd be into the physics now or the mathematics at all, I feel like you could really excel at padel.
You're
playing the angles
quickly.
In there. Yeah.
So you can't just directly hit it off the wall.
No. That's out.
That's out.
And you can't let it bounce again after the wall.
No, not on your side, yeah.
Yeah, but you can also use the sides?
You can't.
A certain section of the sides.
Because there's netting, isn't there, which kills the ball?
There's cage, like the first third of the court that you can hit, and then it turns to glass, and then the glass is fair game.
So when we're explaining all this, people listening out there, they'll be like, oh, you know, like, why are you going so into detail about this sport? But it's become massive in Ireland. Like, it's seriously, seriously growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting is it's growing globally.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise, but in Ireland, it's been around since, 2011, they said?
Yeah, so we went out to Bushy Park today and we spoke to the president of the Paddle Federation of Ireland. And
Naomi,
she talked us through that it's been coming for a couple of years. I think we have a clip of Naomi there.
It's been around longer than people think in Ireland. It's been around since 2011, 2012. So people think it's just kind of come out of nowhere. And I know that that's the general perception, but people have been playing. We have the pioneers of paddle participating now since 2012. I think what's happening is we're just seeing this globally. There's over 35 million players now, and it's trickled over here, the excitement about it. And people realise it's just so social. It's a really fun game.
That's news to me, lads, since 2011, 12.
Yeah, that was news to me as well. That was my biggest takeaway from today, because I got a paddle racket for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
This past Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's how I started playing. And I kind of thought, oh, it's just been around 6 months, yeah, a year. Like, wow, it's growing. But she was talking about how, so it kicked off in 2011. It was obviously still small in Ireland. But ever since COVID, she says it's been booming. So people kind of got the hang of it before COVID, then went into COVID, couldn't play. And apparently they came out and it's just gone like, phew, yeah, straight up.
Like I came home from Australia for a little Christmas holiday back to Kerry too. You'd mm-hmm. know it well.
Yeah.
Best place in Cork. And there was a massive paddle centre built in Kerry too between the time I'd left for Oz. And
wow.
I was like to the girls, like, oh, are we meeting up for coffee? Like, what we do, haven't seen each other. We're like, yeah, let's meet up and play paddle. And they play nearly every Saturday. And it's interesting. We have a couple of voice notes from my friend Rachel. She was a superstar tennis player growing up. She has like national titles for under 12 and under 14, played for Ireland and Munster, and used to play on like the junior European circuit. And she gave it up when she was around 16. She found it was a pretty lonely sport, but now she's gotten into paddle. So I was asking her, coming from a tennis background, why do you think paddle is so much more popular than tennis?
Yeah. It's also one of the things that everybody said across the board was that it was way easier to start. Like, tennis is difficult, and you can play it socially, but it's very hard to play it socially to a high, like, to a level where you're enjoying yourself. I always get super frustrated playing tennis because, oh, I haven't played in 2-3 months, my forehand is shite, like, I can't hit the ball properly, it's going way up in the air. Whereas you go play paddle and you're like automatically kind of good at it. I think that's a morale booster.
Yeah, I think Rachel explains it well. She has a clip going in between the techniques of paddle and tennis, if we can have a listen to that, Bronagh.
Yeah, and I definitely think, just from coming from like a tennis background, it's most definitely an easier sport for beginners. And I think this is probably due to it being less technical in terms of the strokes. For example, like, it could literally take you a year, 2 years to learn how to hit the perfect forehand in tennis. But when it comes to paddle, I think if you have any bit of like good hand-eye coordination, say for example, like if you're a GA player with the hurling or camogie, you can take to it a lot quicker. So therefore, it was like enjoyable when I went to my housemates, because we were all kind of, I suppose, of a similar level or standard, and were able to actually have a rally and play a bit competitively from the beginning.
So it could take you like 10 years to master a serve in tennis, but you could be 10 minutes learning a paddle. And also the games are much quicker.
Yeah.
So it fits people's schedules. And you can also, a lot of these places have the rackets there to rent, so you don't need equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can even get a court. Like, yeah, when you think about it, tennis in Ireland, or tennis in Dublin, sorry, I can't speak for really outside of Dublin, a lot of it, or the good courts, are behind membership, and yeah, you don't really have access to them. Whereas for paddle, you can go to Bushy Park, you can go to Killiney Castle Hotel, like, there's so many places that you can play, and you don't have to be signed up and be paying whatever, like, tennis clubs are like 700 quid yeah, or something a year to be a member. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, like, and they have waiting lists out the door as well, so there is a demand for these tennis clubs, but I think from a social point of view, paddle is definitely more accessible.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to golf that way, isn't it? Tennis, like, you've got joining fees, pretty strict etiquette, even the dress code. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, Fitzwilliam in Dublin and Sunday as well in Cork, you have to wear all white.
Oh yeah, so I played there recently and I was shocked. I had to go out and buy whites.
Yeah, whereas you walk into paddle centres, we were talking to Alvaro today, and the amount of GAA gear you see yeah, in the paddle centres is insane. When we were in secondary school, I joined the tennis team just to try and get out of like a test, because we had a really good tennis team. Rachel now and her two sisters would play, and
so you fit right in.
I fit right in as a sub, perfect. Thought I'd get out of the test, and three of them got food poisoning the night before, so I had to get called up to play. Never played tennis before. Rocked onto the court in a pair of DC shoes, GAA shorts and GAA jersey. And the umpire was just like, what are you wearing? Like, you can't be doing this, you know?
But did you even have a racket?
No, I had to borrow Rachel's. Rachel's mom had to come and give me tennis clothes.
Were you allowed to play?
Once I changed my clothes, yeah, and gave it a big old camogie
whack. What was the score?
We won. Now I was playing with Rachel, who was probably one of the best players in Ireland at the time, which helped. But now...
Are you referring to yourself in the third person?
No, my friend Rachel from the boys now.
That's really impressive that you won. I mean, yeah. I'm sure she's class, but you still have to be on
her
the
way.
Pitch. Okay.
Yeah, but now, like, that's a big barrier. I could rock up to my local paddle shop.
Yeah.
Full gag here. Go for a whack with my friends.
Also, what they were saying was something that Alvaro, the coach we chatted to today as well, is that it's really, there's a load of overlap between paddle and loads of other sports. So it's not just tennis, squash or other racket sports. People with good hand-eye coordination, so GAA, massive, handball, which apparently is big in Ireland. I didn't know that, but they were telling me that today. So all these sports that Ireland are actually really good at have a really nice overlap with paddle. So it's quite, I mean, you'd think we're going to be quite good at it once it starts taking off at the professional level.
It feels like, definitely the professional level, but it does feel like a lifestyle movement for people. It's like part of like health and fitness plans. It's like you can do a whole day of paddle inside of like a recovery gym session and like go for coffee and paddle's there.
Sauna.
It's so easy to play or sauna, exactly. And if Fitzwilliam, I think you can only book so many courts a week because it's so popular that it's gone out of control completely.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the amount of private investment in it because like we're talking about trying to change football for the better in the country, and it always goes back to facilities. And like this changed the calendar football to summer football, and you go across the country, and like I know from Cork as well, the difference in one club's clubhouse to the next is like frightening. And then you have paddle, which like one of the people you interviewed said it's been around for the best part of a decade and a half, but really has only got going since COVID, like you say. And it seems to be streets ahead of sports that have been here for a long time. And I wonder, has it captured something in the human psyche that it is becoming so popular that like people that I know anecdotally that play who have a variety of personalities and interests, paddle's bringing them together. Like, what is it with the sport?
Yeah. One of our listeners, Henry, thanks for the voice note, Henry, sent in a voice note with pretty similar feelings to yourself that is this something that Ireland have actually invested in? Whereas historically, maybe we wouldn't have been the best at that.
First thing I suppose is it a fad or is it here to replace tennis? And I think the real question is, how do we look at tennis? Is it a sport or is it a hobby? So like I've gone and played paddle a few times, but I've always done it with friends in kind of a social setting. I've played it 7 or 8 times. And that's the real question. You know, growing up, I did get to play a bit of tennis. I did a few tennis camps, but I never actually really joined a club. Family members would have been in clubs, but it was always kind of the same structure as golf. You know, you're paying for a club that's got a clubhouse. It's generally for the middle to upper class, and it's kind of behind closed doors. And I actually, you know, I think in Ireland we struggle to actually put sports out there for people to do.
That's, I don't want to say controversial, but it's an interesting take on the tennis kind of being behind closed doors.
But yeah, but there's a tennis court every way you turn in Ireland.
I know, but they're not very good.
Yeah, but there's concrete ones, but you can play. Like there was that Tenio research done, was it in 2023?
Yeah.
When your own research, I was reading the notes of that. It was actually 2 years ago, and like tennis is one of the most popular sports in the country, right? But if you look at it on the global scale, like Ireland is not a player at all in tennis.
No.
Like at all. Like, I mean, you look at Conor Nyland and his book, The Racket, is talking about basically the regrets of his career. But he's their most prominent tennis player, really, of the century when he got to the first round of Wimbledon in 2011, the first round of the US Open, when he played Novak Djokovic with food poisoning, funnily enough. And there's no correlation at all between the number of tennis courts we have, whatever about the quality of them, they are everywhere, versus how seriously we take it as professional sport.
Yeah.
It's a really strange dynamic we have with sport.
Well, it's also really strange that that Teneo survey, they said something like, so tennis is the leading individual sport in the affections of the Irish public. But what they mean by that is that loads of people like to watch it.
Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Wimbledon.
And that spikes at Wimbledon, yes, specifically. But in general, there's like quite a large proportion of Irish people who would say they like tennis or would like to watch tennis or have an interest in tennis. But only something like 3 or 4% of the population actually have a go at playing it. So there's a really bizarre gap between the kind of interest for the sport and the actual participation?
Well, it's so hard to play, first of all, because it's really highly skilled and a bit alienating. And in that instance, it is like hurling, actually, because if you don't have great hand-eye coordination, you will lose your mind playing tennis.
Yeah.
Because it's like, first of all, you have to master getting the ball over the net, then you have to master your serve. Then, like you say, you hadn't played in a while and your forehand was all over the shop. That happens. Then you need to play an opponent that's at your level or a bit better than you if you want to improve. It's very demoralising if you're playing with a close friend or whatever and the standards are completely different.
Yeah.
You can potentially fall out over that because one person is just hammering the other person. It's no fun for them. There's fewer things in life more frustrating than hitting the net in tennis or putting it long or putting it wide. There's so many ways to miss in tennis.
Yeah,
like, it will drive you insane.
Which is, I think, what's the benefit of paddle. And I was talking to someone who said that.
Because
it's enclosed, it's a helping hand. That's, I think, actually how he described it. And that makes it so much easier for somebody and so much less frustrating. I think that's the key. They have more fun when they're playing paddle.
But the greatest feeling in sport is if you hit a great forehand winner or an ace. It's amazing.
It's funny you should say that. When we arrived at Bushy Park, two girls, me and Anna, were prepping. They were going to Madrid in July for the European Championships. And I asked Anna how she got into paddle initially. She said it was through tennis, but her explanation of why she got hooked at paddle is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I've been playing for the last 3 years. I also come from tennis, and a Spanish friend of mine introduced me to paddle. She said one day, Anna, let me bring you to Dublin. I'll show you something more fun than tennis. So I was intrigued and I came here and hit a couple of balls and it just felt nice. When you come from tennis and you're handed that solid bat, any shot that you hit seems like a strong and a good shot. So you get this nice feeling. So I hit a couple of grand strokes, hard ones, and I thought I was great. It's only then when you start playing competitions and you face paddle players that use the wall and give you back a slower ball, you're in trouble. So that was the part that got me into playing more paddle, trying to learn how to place the ball, to change the technique from tennis. It's an exciting journey.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think she quite elegantly said what I was trying to say earlier, that you can whack the ball as hard as you want and you think you're class because you're coming from tennis and you're trying to do this top spin or two-handed backhand, but you hit it too hard and it just whacks against the back wall and then you're a point lost. And it definitely took me a couple of times to transition from tennis to paddle. So they aren't the same.
Do you have a double-handed backhand in tennis?
I do, but it's really hard to hold the paddle. No,
it's too short.
So my backhand is really poor in paddle because I don't have the...
Well, most people are double-handed backhand, so that's an interesting transition to paddle. But when I was speaking with Jenny about this, Jenny Claffey, like, she was adamant that there is very little correlation between tennis and paddle, which is interesting from her perspective.
Ooh.
Because it looks very similar and all that. The scoring system is similar, but these are just the technique of your shot has to be way different. It's actually quite difficult to hit a winner. Very difficult. It's basically an exercise in endurance and stamina. You'd have 40 to 50 shot rallies regularly, depending on the standard. You're wrecked.
And that's why it's so fun, because you can get rallies going.
Yeah.
You know, like going out with your friends, one or two of them mightn't have the best hand-eye coordination. You put one on either side of the net and you're still guaranteed a bit of a good rally.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's also just so social because there's always four of you. I think that, like, I'm sure tennis doubles is social too, but it's a much bigger area that you're playing on. You're not having the chit-chat as much. Whereas in paddle, you're just so close together.
True, yeah. That's a very good point, actually, yeah. Because tennis is funny because you're just too far away to have a standard conversation. You have to raise your voice a bit, like, how's work going? Yeah, and it's like, you're mid-rally. So, well, I can't concentrate in this. But you can do it easily in paddle. The ball, I meant to ask you, what's the difference?
I don't know. I feel like I've been scammed, actually, because I bought paddle balls specifically. They look and feel the exact same as a tennis ball. So I'm not sure if someone's scamming me.
What? Do I want to say, is it something about the air pressure in them?
All right.
It would make sense because it's such a different bat that they would be.
I would have thought a tennis ball would take your head off in that close proximity.
No, that hasn't happened yet. But
I'm surprised there's not more injuries in it. But I suppose that, because the big rule is you can't smash it against the wall, of course, from distance.
Yeah, so they're not high when you think about it. They're going down towards your feet.
And I heard lobbing is a good tactic to use.
Yeah, the best thing I'm not very good at it, but the best thing I've come across is if you can lob it and land it just before the wall or like just in the corner, then it bounces really low off the wall. And obviously it's really hard to get down low and return that.
Yeah.
So it's actually not about power at all. But it's interesting that Jenny said that there's no correlation, because she was obviously a superstar tennis player.
Yeah.
And then she represented Ireland in paddle. So
now, in fairness, she said limited correlation. Like, there are some similarities, yeah. But she was like, she was saying, like, one of her grievances with it is like, people call it paddle tennis and it's not paddle tennis. It's paddle.
Interesting.
It's separate. So what interests me is like, where are Ireland in the global scale of talent when it comes to paddle? Because it's a Spanish person. Was it the Spanish person brought the game to Ireland? Was it,
I think.
And because like it seems like we're never ever really going to actually make tennis players from Ireland that have to move country very young. I wonder, are we in its infancy enough sufficiently to actually create professional paddle players?
It looks like we are, because I asked Naomi, the president, whether she thinks the Olympics are going to be part of the... Or whether she thinks paddler are going to be part of the Olympics. Because
this is interesting.
It looks like it's destined to be an Olympic sport. Like, you know, it's got all of the makings of it. And she said, yeah, we should definitely see paddle in the 2032 Olympics, and that they're putting in a lot of infrastructure for junior players coming up in Ireland. So if you've got kids, if you're listening out here and you're younger, get
and
to
you
the
want
paddle
to be an
court,
Olympian.
Get to the paddle court and you can be an Olympian.
Yeah, let's listen to her anyway.
So that's something that the world governing body is working on. That's the FIP, they're the international governing body, and they're just going through the final parts of that to get it recognised, hopefully, as an international game.
Yeah, do you think we could see it in Brisbane 2032 then?
That is the plan, and that's what we're working towards. So we just have developed a programme with Erasmus, actually, and it's Pathway to Brisbane. So we have to start getting our juniors ready. We have to work on that. We are running a number of different programmes, national programmes, to get our juniors up to speed.
I think it's so exciting that there's a new sport at such an elite level in what felt like quite a short space of time. There's like something else that Irish kids could grow up wanting to play and represent their country. I mean, that's, I feel like in all this talk of like, is it going to overtake tennis? Is it bad for tennis? A lot of people maybe forget that actually we're creating a new sport that's only going to get more people playing sport and going to represent Ireland at the highest level. For me, I'm like, is that really a bad thing?
No, not at all. Like, I think if you can associate it with something positive in terms of a lifestyle trend, you will inevitably develop professional people who are good enough to do it. Like, tennis does have a bit of a problem in that, like, definitely best of five set matches, it's too long. Like, you're not going to sit down and watch 4.5 hours. Andy Murray said that in a podcast with Gael Monfils recently. He was like, I wouldn't watch a tennis match. Yeah. It's way too long. Novak Djokovic said that tennis is under threat from paddle because it's a condensed version of the sport. Very sociable, and you can get very good at it very quickly.
Mm.
What's not to like about that?
But Djokovic was on the kind of other side of the camp. He wanted, I don't want to say a reduction in paddle, but he wanted more investment in tennis at the lower levels, wasn't it? So that they balance out better.
Yeah, so he has, yeah, like he is, in fairness to Djokovic, fairly concerned about where tennis is going overall, and he has that PTPA organisation that he set up with Pospisil, the Canadian player. But it's deeply flawed in itself, but it's the right idea in that, like, more like lower ranked players should get more money and all that, and it goes to then does go back down to the future of the game. But tennis doesn't do a great job of marketing itself. It's really only getting to grips with social media now and how to make it a good thing. And they are relying on the developing personalities in a game that has lost like huge lifetime stars in the space of the time that paddle has got popular, like Serena Williams, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal. Djokovic is only a matter of time. Naomi Osaka stepped away after winning four slams.
Meanwhile, paddle on social media is just
taking
off.
Because my TikTok is just covered in paddle shots. And they are really exciting to watch. Because they're so entertaining and it's bouncing off so many walls and there's so much going on, you end up watching the 60-second clip on TikTok. Next thing you know, all of your For You page is paddle. Mm. Now, it hasn't come to the stars yet. Like, I haven't... Because I was thinking this with Nadal's... kind of, I don't know what that was called. It was like a retirement party on the court. That's not what it was called, but you know what I mean. And they had the big four out there kind of wishing him well. And I was saying to Rachel earlier, I grew up watching so much tennis. I was a huge Roger Federer fan. I would have watched him every time he played anywhere around the world. And I don't watch tennis anymore. And I don't know, I don't do that consciously. I haven't made a decision to be like, no, I don't like tennis anymore. There's just nobody that draws me into the sport as much as it used to. Mm. And you don't have those huge battles. Like when Federer used to play Nadal, It was the best thing ever. Yeah. And you were watching not only a battle on the court, but they were also friends. They had big personalities. They made it funny. And I don't think, this might be me being harsh, but it doesn't feel like we have the same thing at the top level tennis at the moment, whereas maybe paddle is offering a bit more fun. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely the transitional period, tennis. It's difficult to follow the greatest.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough to live through the greatest era. Like, and you're talking about Borg and McEnroe and Sampras and Agassi, but this is right up there. It's more sustained. They did it for longer. Definitely did it for longer. The paddle, like, is everything going for it. And the only thing I would say against it, and there's no, this is just a theory, there's no proof of this at all, but that it is such a sociable sport and it is so much fun. It was like, will people take it seriously enough to make it a professional sport? But all jokes aside, if you have breakdancing in the Olympics and, like, we all, I was like laughing at that, was like heading into it, and then you watch the breaking, as it was called, and it was like, these people are taking it mad seriously.
Yeah. And they are highly skilled in there.
It's a gold medal at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, well, it looked very serious when we were down in Bushy Park. Like, they have their Team Ireland kits.
Yeah.
It's, I presume, I don't know this, but I presume they have some sort of backing, funding from Team Ireland or Sport Ireland.
They're involved with Team Ireland, and they're heading out with a full team of men's and women's doubles to the European Championships in July, and they've got more big competitions coming up. I mean, they're running them in Ireland throughout the year, like seeding events. And it's interesting, even moving away from like the less professional side of it, that we were talking to a couple of people down there, and like you said, it's frustrating when you're playing someone that's not on your level. But with paddle, you don't have to be a certain member of a club. You just go onto the app and you have a level and you book in. So I book myself in with the court and I say, I'm playing here, we're level 4. You could just book in with me at level 4. So it's social with your friends, but it's also social with strangers. You know, you're getting to meet different people every week and you know they're going to be in around the same level of you.
It seems to be quite addictive too, from talking to people who play it regularly. You're like, these people are playing it like half a dozen times a week.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the dopamine hit.
It
from
is
being
They've left
good,
their families, these people, living in hotels under the witness protection program or something. And like, they're mad into this. Like, this is, it's such an addiction.
Yeah, we were chatting to another lady today. I don't think we have any clips from her, but she was doing a lesson. And she was telling us she was playing tonight at 5:30 in a game somewhere. And then she had another game at 7:30 in a completely different paddle arena. And she was doing a lesson and she was playing again today. I was like, do you work? Like,
it's unreal. And from the research, like a little bit of research done, is like an average, in an hour, you can get 2 sets done on average in a typical game. And again, going back to the tennis, it's like, yeah, maybe you can get it. You maybe can get 2 sets done in an hour, but it probably wouldn't be the best game.
No.
There's probably a one-sided nature to that match.
3 sets to nil, probably.
Do you know
I'm
what
guessing.
I mean? You're flying through it. Like, you're absolutely flaking, man. So yeah, look, I'm excited to play. Like, I'm glad to have done this podcast before I ever struck a shot in paddle.
Do you feel more confident going into your first game?
I'm very, you know, having talked through, it's cathartic before the event, a pre-mortem, if you will.
You can visualise the shots getting into the corner.
All I've been doing
is
sitting here visualising all the different chances.
I'm going to be really offended if we're not invited, actually.
Same. Okay, that's fair enough.
But I do just want to finish on, I was chatting to Aidan O'Driscoll, who's part of the Athlone Squash Club, and it kind of brings us full circle because he's in his 60s and thinking about transitioning over to paddle. So let's just listen to what he had to say.
I mean, the way I see it, it's a nice problem to have conflict between, you know, to healthy conflict between two sports. If paddle becomes more popular than squash in our facility, you know, on a general level, we think it's great that people are coming and playing sports. And
but you're very happy for kind of at least squash and paddle anyway to grow side by side rather than seeing them as pitted against each other.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, I'm in my 60s now, so. And like I'd love to continue in sports until I drop. But I would see myself as I get older playing more paddle than squash. You know, that's my.
Why
feeling
is that?
On
just
it anyway.
Slightly less.
Because I think it's more social. Because in squash it's you know there's only 2 on the court. It's whereas in paddle it's 4, so you could have yourself and your partner playing, your friends, you know, and it's much more social in that sense. And as I say, it's a lot less strenuous, so you could literally have a good, I would think anyway, a good game of paddle, and you're not breaking into a a run or every strenuous strides or anything like that, you're it's much less there's much less ground to cover.
Sorry, that was a bit long. I hope we still have our listeners at the end of that clip. But he did say some important things.
Yeah, it was
and
good.
I think the way he talked about, you know, he wants to play sport till he drops, and he can see this as an alternative to maybe when squash becomes a bit too much. I thought that was just a quite a nice way to round everything off, because we've seen, okay, they're backing it at the junior level because they want to create pros. We know people our age are playing it socially. We know there's the likes of Anna and what was the other girl's name?
Mia.
Mia heading off to a European event. But then you've also got people in your 60s and 70s who are using this not only as a social outlet, like, you know, your grandparents used to go to the golf club, but it's also more active and it's a way that they can stay involved in sport till really late on,
yeah,
which I think is lovely.
I'm thinking now, is paddle a threat to tennis? No, is paddle a threat to golf? Maybe. Golf, another sport, you've got a lot of those barriers. Check out next week, you know, you've got financial barriers to golf a lot of the time. You've got time constraints. You know, you're out in the course four or 5 hours. Yes, it is really social.
I would say I think paddle probably does still involve a little bit more movement than golf.
Depends on how lazy you want to be.
Yeah, you could just stand there. Have you ever seen the, I love watching this, like old ladies on a tennis court and they just stand at the midway line and they just go whack. Whack, whack, and neither of them ever move. I think it's actually really skilled, because I probably couldn't direct my shots that well. But yeah, anyway, we'll have to wait and see about the golf. We're looking forward to the European Championships in July. We'll definitely have updates on that when it happens. And for now, this has been Word on the Street, and we can't wait to chat to you next week.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah.
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No, no!
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you. Hey!